It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a new survey measures how much religion and politics overlap and how much people want religious belief to be part of politics. We'll hear from a scholar of religion and maybe from you later in the show.
First, military action against the Islamic State movement continues with airstrikes last night in multiple locations in Syria. The strikes have gone on in Iraq since last month and in Syria starting last week.
Our next guest says the U.S. president is exceeding his constitutional authority with these military actions that he needs specific congressional approval to continue. Bruce Ackerman is with us. He's Sterling Professor of Law at Yale University. His recent piece, Obama's Betrayal of the Constitution, appeared recently in the New York Times. Bruce, welcome to the show.
A pleasure.
Well, the White House says the use of force authorization back in 2001 applies to the current military action against ISIS, in part because ISIS is a successor organization to Al-Qaeda. Why do you say that's not enough?
Well, the White House has not really made a serious legal argument yet. All they've done is make background comments and to reporters, the New York Times a couple of times. This kind of chatter, and that's all it is, and it shifts from time to time, is simply unworthy of the rule of law. If the White House actually believes that it's authorized by these resolutions passed 12 and 13 years ago in response to very different problems, it has to present serious legal arguments. And the way that it does so is by issuing an opinion. Either the White House counsel issues an opinion or the Office of Legal Counsel in the Justice Department. That's fundamental, and they haven't done it. That's just plain irresponsible.
Is there an argument that you think the White House could make that would convince you that they could keep doing this without specific new approval from Congress?
Well, this is just shadow boxing. I refuse to play this game. I'll tell you one thing that any serious legal opinion has to confront, and that is when George Bush responded much more responsibly than the Obama White House did by requesting an explicit authorization from Congress after September 11th. President Bush proposed a sweeping authorization for the use of force, which was not pinpointed at the groups and countries that were responsible for September 11th, but gave general authority to the president to preempt future threats, just as President Obama is doing today. Now, Congress, at this moment of high crisis, refused to grant President Bush a carte blanche. And they instead selected a much more limiting language expressly for the reason that the president should come back to Congress later on if he wants to extend the war to other terrorist groups. That's just what's going on now, and for a serious legal argument, the White House would have to prepare an opinion that confronts the legislative history that denies President Obama the very authority that he says that the 2001 resolution provides him. The key point, though, is that the War Powers Act of 1973 sets up a clear schedule. President Obama has 60 days to get congressional authorization, and then he has to end the bombing within 30 days thereafter if he fails. President Obama, consistent with the War Powers Act, informed both the Speaker and the President of the Senate on August 8th that he had commenced operations against the Islamic State. That meant the clock started running. President Obama obeyed the law of the War Powers Act. 60 days after August 8th is October 7th. 30 days more for the termination is November 6th, which is 2 days after the election. If there is no up and down vote by Congress by November 6th, on November 7th, members of the armed forces will go into court and say, look, we want to know whether we're fighting an illegal war. President Obama's silence plus Congress's irresponsible decision to go on a two-month recess for electioneering without either requesting President Obama to come forward with a serious legal argument rather than these comments to reporters, or, on the other hand, making an up or down vote under the War Powers Resolution, they were irresponsible. They said, oh, well, we have better things to do than make a clear decision on a crucial matter of war and peace. We have to run for re-election. Well, this is an invitation to the courts to take on this job. It would be if President Obama's silence plus Congress's going on vacation, on recess, who is going to decide this question when the members of the armed forces go into court?
In your op-ed, you describe this as a turning point. What do you see as the future of presidential, of executive military power if neither the president nor Congress takes this up and it doesn't get challenged in the courts?
Well, it will be challenged in the courts. I have no doubt. And this will, in the short run, undermine the war against ISIS. Is it a constitutional war? Is it not much better for the president and the Congress to resolve this issue? Rather than talking only about the future of irresponsibility, the thing to do is for Congress to be responsible now. And the War Powers Act gives a clear, it's a very well-drafted statute, really. It contemplates the possibility of Congress going on vacation, on recess. And it says that 30% of the Senate and 30% of the House, if they request a special session of the president of Congress, the Speaker and the President of the Senate shall so request it to the President of the United States. That is the responsible thing to do. I think that there are many people who are serious senators on both sides of the aisle who recognize that it'd be far, far better for Congress to confront this issue, both people like Rand Paul on the Republican side and people like Ron Wyden on the Democratic side. There are many people who recognize that this is simply irresponsible. If we get 30 senators and 30% of the House, then the Congress will get back in session for 3 or 4 days and debate this issue.
Do you see that as likely?
Congress did, before it left, a vote on the question of whether there should be a special appropriation for to train the Syrian responsible Syrian forces. More than 30% of the House voted against it, because they didn't think that they should get involved in Syria. And 22 senators voted against it. Would 30 senators go along? Well, it isn't so unrealistic. That's precisely why I'm raising it both here and in an op-ed that I wrote in Politico and various other places. This is precisely what the War Powers Act contemplates if Congress goes on recess at a crucial moment. If the president continues on his irresponsible course of not even presenting his legal arguments in a serious form to the American people, and Congress simply says, well, we might do something in the lame duck session after the election. This gesture of responsibility is become a little less credible, actually, because of the resignation of the Attorney General and the likelihood that the Obama administration will spend a good deal of time of the lame duck session trying to get a replacement approved. So the idea that Congress would also, during this period, make a considered judgment on the war against the Islamic State is less likely today than it was before. This precedent would be terrible. It is a decisive break with previous precedents under the War Powers Resolution, and would authorize a future president to simply assert without proof, without argument, that he can go to a war in some place in Africa because it is distantly related, some members are distantly related, perhaps, to the group that bombed the World Trade Center 20 years previously. This is just really a carte blanche. President Obama has been, of course, generally responsible and reluctant to engage in foreign wars, and it's a tragedy that he's creating this precedent for future presidents who might be more gun-happy than he is.
We'll leave it there. Bruce, thanks for joining us today.
Yes.
That was Bruce Ackerman. He's Sterling Professor of Law and Political Science at Yale University, making the case that President Obama needs congressional approval for military efforts in Iraq and Syria.